come up and speak to you from the Word of God. I love that song, What Child Is This? What a great song with the music that they've ascribed together and tied to it some of the greatest lyrics that ascribe glory and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that song. It's one of the most beautiful songs. I trust that's one of yours as well. But something that I especially love about that song is the title of that song, What Child Is This? Seems like a good question, don't you think? What child is this? That song really poses the quintessential question of all time. What child is this? What child is this that so many people have celebrated for so many years around the world, globally, all this time? What child is this? What child is this that garners so much worship, so much praise, so much attention? What child is this that has caused some people to travel the globe to tell others about this child that was born in a stable and laying in a manger? What child is this that has caused some of the greatest discord, division in our world and even in the homes of families? Who is this child that we gather this evening to celebrate during this time of the year that we call Christmas? Really is a great question, don't you think? I would have to say it is the quintessential question that every person on this planet must ask and answer, and I would say respond appropriately to. And we know this because even the Lord Jesus Christ asked that question. He said that of his disciples. He said in Matthew 16, verse 13 through 14, he said, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" The disciples responded to that question saying this. They responded with a variety of answers to that quintessential question from the Lord Jesus Christ. They said this. They said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." You see, there were lots of opinions of who Jesus was in the time of Christ. Even while he was alive and ministering to the nation of Israel, there were lots of questions about who is this Jesus called the Christ. It's kind of similar to our day and age, don't you think? There's a plethora of opinions about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, some people in our times think that Jesus is just some wise teacher who showed up and gave some quaint little sayings for people to follow if they decide to. Some think that Jesus was someone who showed us how to love supremely. Some think that Jesus came to bring social justice. Some people think that Jesus came just to be an example for us how to live our lives as a moral example. Some think that Jesus was a historical figure, but that is it. He just came, he lived, and he died like every other man, and that's it. Nothing special about him. Some think that Jesus was just a mythological figure. Some people just made up to get people to be religious and to change their behavior. There are many more opinions that people have about the Lord Jesus Christ. I could mention many more, but I think you get the point. The point is, there are many opinions about who Jesus is, and people are going to have their opinions, but I think the quintessential question is what is your opinion of Jesus Christ? What child is this to you? What I want to do this evening briefly in our time in God's Word is I want to show you what Scripture says about who this child called the Christ is. Who that child that was born over 2,000 years ago was laid in a manger. This child that the shepherds came and worshipped and the magi came from the east to give praise to. Who is this child? I want you to go to Scripture this evening to find out who he really is. You see, it really doesn't matter, ultimately, what I say he is, or what someone says he is, or even maybe what you think he is. The real issue is what Scripture says about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, the Lord Jesus wants you to personally ask that question, understand the answer to that question, and respond favorably to it. You see, Jesus, after he'd asked his disciples, and he said to them, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they responded with a variety of perspectives about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus then followed up and said to his disciples personally, he said, "Yes, but who do you say that I am?" You see, that is the issue. Who do you say that Jesus is? You see, Jesus said that because he understood the importance, the eternal importance, of you knowing him correctly and accurately and responding favorably to what the Scripture says about him. In fact, your understanding of Christ and your belief in who he is affects your eternal destiny. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer to the Father, said this in John 17, verse 3. He said this, "This is eternal life." You follow up with, "Well, what is that?" He said, "That they may know you," the Father that is, "the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." It's vitally important that each and every one of us know who Jesus is. It's important that we are able to answer, as the hymn writer has asked in his hymn, "What child is this?" And so, who is this child? Who is he? Well, I think we get a good picture in summary fashion in the verses that we have up on the screen. If you could go there for us, Chase. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Says this, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you news of great joy, good news of great joy, which will be for all the people.'" Verse 11 is what I want to focus on. "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." There are three essential truths that I want to bring to your attention tonight of what child this is. The first essential truth that I want you to notice from these verses about who this child is, and that was born over 2,000 years ago, and I want you to notice who this child is. I want you to notice that this is the child that Scripture says he is. Very important. I must draw that principle out for you to see this evening, because this is vital. That while there are many views about Christ, as I said, the only view that really matters about who Jesus is what Scripture says about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason this is what matters most is because Scripture demonstrates that this is what matters most. In the birth of Jesus Christ, we can trust in what God's Word says. Look at verse 11, "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You see, I want you to notice how Scripture gives Jesus the title Christ. You see, most people think that that refers to his last name, but actually that's not what it means. The word Christ does not speak of his last name. It literally is Christos in the language. It is literally Mashiach in the Hebrew, and it speaks of the anointed one. It's really a title given to Christ. And that title is Messiah, Mashiach, the Christos, the anointed one. And that's significant because what it means is that this Jesus is the one whom God has sent to be the Messiah, or the King of Kings. You see, in ancient Israel, when someone was given the place of authority and leadership, They were anointed with oil. It was poured over their head, and it was meant to signify that this person was marked out by God to be in a position of authority, such as being a king. We even find it happening with the priests. What is significant about this, him being Christ, is that Jesus was given the title of the Messiah, and it meant that Jesus was literally the long-awaited Messiah that the Scriptures had been proclaiming for literally thousands of years. You see, this is significant because the Messiah was a person who was prophesied in the Old Testament Scriptures that God had foretold of the coming Messiah for thousands of years before it came to pass. And this Messiah was promised to come one day. There would come a day, a historical day, when the Lord would come and he would be the Messiah, the one anointed by God himself to be the King of Kings, the King of Israel, and the King over all the world. He would be the king who would come, and he would right all wrongs, and he would reign in righteousness on his throne on earth in the capital of the world, Jerusalem. This was a fulfillment of the prophecies spoken of the coming Messiah, prophecies that we find from Genesis all the way through. Prophecies we find in Genesis 3:15, Genesis 49, the Messiah would come through the line of Judah. The prophecies that speak of the Messiah coming through the line of David in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12, or that he would be a Messiah that would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. He would be the Messiah, the one who was promised who would come to heal his people, Isaiah 6, verse 11. The Messiah, the one promised who would come and die for the sins of the people in Daniel 9:26. He would be the Messiah, the one who was promised who would come and he would literally reign over the house of Jacob, Luke 1, verse 33. He would be the Messiah who was promised who would come, who would reign over all the earth, Psalm 22, Daniel 7:14. And this is significant because what this demonstrates is that we must believe who Jesus is as the Scripture says he is. He's the Messiah. Those prophecies were literally fulfilled that night when he was born. An historical event, literal event. The King of Kings, the Messiah, had come. He had been born just as God had said, and as we can clearly see in the proclamation of the angels, that this time had finally come. Notice verse 11 at the very beginning. It says, "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Messiah Christ the Lord." That's something to ponder, isn't it? For today, those angels proclaimed that event happening. All the people anticipating that coming day for literally thousands of years. The Messiah had been born just as Scripture said. And he was born just as Scripture said in this out of the city of David. He was of the line of David. And he was born in Bethlehem just as Scripture had said. The King of Kings was born that day. The Messiah had come and the people rejoiced. Who is this child? He is the child that the Scripture has testified of for thousands of years. This is the child that Scripture testifies even of today, this evening, as we proclaim him as Scripture says. This is the child, beloved, that you can literally trust in. See, the Scripture is fulfilled, demonstrating the veracity, the truthfulness of the Scripture. And so whatever the Scripture says about the Messiah, you can trust your soul to it. That's the first point that I want to bring to your attention. And that is an essential point to start with, knowing who this child is. And you can trust what it says in the Scripture. The second truth that we learn about this child that we find in our verse this evening is that he is the Savior. Notice this. Excuse me. He is the Lord. The Lord. Notice what it says. "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ." Notice the Lord. Notice the definite article. The Lord. He's the Lord of lords. He is the King of Kings. There is no one higher than the Almighty. That is why He's called the Almighty. He is the Lord. Another vital truth that we learn about this child that was born that day, this child is a very unique child, that while he was fully a child, meaning that he was born and he was fully human, when the shepherds saw him, they saw a baby boy, but they saw a human child, but he was much more than just a child. He was the Lord. Isn't that great? Lord at thy birth. Literally upholding all things by the word of his power in a manger. It's a stunning, profound truth. But this is the truth that I keep coming to every Christmas season, because it is the truth that I keep reminding the church about, that Jesus in his birth was Lord. He was not just a man. He is the God-man. He is uniquely God and man at the same time. God in the flesh, more than a man. And Jesus demonstrated this, that he was deity. He demonstrated this with his message. He claimed to be God in the flesh over and over throughout the scriptures, primarily in the Gospel of John. We find him saying very profound things, like in John 8:58, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Before Abraham was born, that was over 1,300 years before the Messiah came. And he says, I am, I always have been, and I always will be. I am the I am, the great I am. He said in John 10:30, he said, I and the Father are one. And what he meant by that is we are one in essence and we are one in power. And when the Jews heard that, they picked up stones to stone him, because he, being a man, was claiming to be God, and they saw that as blasphemy, and they wanted to stone him. Jesus claimed to be God in the flesh, and he said in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He who has seen me has seen the Father. What a truth. And when men worshipped Jesus as he said he was, God in the flesh, when they worshipped him, Jesus accepted their worship. When Thomas came up to him after the resurrection, he said to him, Thomas answered and said to the Lord, my Lord and my God. Jesus never once denied that. Oh, don't call me God. Don't call me Lord, because he is Lord. And then he backed up his words with all the miracles that he did in the presence of the people, calming the storm by a spoken word, healing the blind, giving sight to the blind, giving ears to those who were deaf, raising people from the dead, and then most significantly, raising himself from the dead. And so what this means for you and for me practically is that you and I must submit to Jesus as Lord. And that's why this is a quintessential question. What child is this? Will you submit to his lordship in your life? He is God in the flesh, and he deserves your full submission, and he also deserves your full worship. Will you do this? He is Lord. He was Lord at his birth. He was Lord in his ministry. He was Lord in his death. He was Lord in his resurrection. And guess what? He is Lord today. Still today. And he calls you this evening to submit to him as Lord, even when we remember him as a baby in a manger. Third truth that I want you to notice about who this child is. Third truth is, and what we learn about him, is what we learn is that Jesus, thirdly, is the Savior. What a great truth. Notice what it says. Verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I love that, pay attention, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a what? Savior. A Savior. This is another vital truth that we learn about the person of Jesus Christ. What child is this? Literally, that baby in the manger is the Savior of sinners, the Redeemer. Now, I don't know about you, but that is such an essential truth, and that is a truth that honestly gives me great joy, because what that means is that in Jesus coming, in His birth, what we literally have before us as we contemplate our Messiah, as we contemplate the Lord, as we contemplate this baby who was born and laying in a manger, what we learn is that He is our Savior, and He has come to save us from our sins. And by the way, as a footnote, not some sin, not part of your sin, but all of your sin. He is the Savior. He is your Savior, sozo in the language. And it gives the understanding that He is someone who has come to save you from terrible danger. You see, before we can call Him Savior, we have to know what He is saving us from. And what we clearly learn in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, is that Jesus came to save His people from their sins. You see, He came to save you, and He came to save me from the one thing that we could never save ourselves from, and that is from our sins. He's come to save us from the penalty of our sin. He's come to save us from the power of our sin that dominates our lives, and He's come to save us from ultimately the presence of sin when He brings us to glory and we're free from sin for all eternity. How did Jesus do this? Well, it's really simple. It says that God took on flesh, Jesus, second member of the Trinity, took on flesh. He lived a perfect life without sin. And the reason He lived it without sin is because He's the Lord. He was God in the flesh. He never had a sinful thought, never spoke a sinful word. And He lived His life perfectly obedient to the law of God. And then He did an amazing thing. He willingly went to the cross to bear your sin and my sin so that He could bear our punishment in full on the cross. That's why we celebrate the birth. It's the greatest doctrine of all Scripture. It's called the Great Exchange, where God exchanges your sin for the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, God treated Jesus as if it were you, as if it were me on the cross, and He punished Him, pouring out all of His wrath and justice on His Son, treating His Son as if it were you, as if it were me. And then by faith, when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? God treats us as if we've lived the perfect life of Jesus Christ. And you know how perfect that is? Perfect. He literally does what Scripture says, wraps us in robes of righteousness. And so if you've come here this evening and you have placed your faith in Christ, you've truly repented of your sin and you've trusted Him as your only hope of salvation, God sees you as perfect without sin. You say, but I'm not, Pastor. That's right, you're not. And that's why you need a Savior constantly. But God, by His grace, saves you from the power of your sin. He comes to indwell you through the power of the Holy Spirit and causes you to walk in His statutes and His ordinances so that you will live for Him and bring Him glory and then one day bring you to glory. What a truth. What a promise. Jesus, the Savior. Now that should bring you joy. And isn't that what it says? Isn't that what the Scripture says? I love how the angel declares the gospel in the birth of Jesus. Look, verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, and it will be for all the people." You know what that means? He saves anyone who will turn to Him and trust Him for their salvation. You know what? That's good news. Very good news. Because I guarantee you, tonight you're going to go home and have sin. Guess what? You're going to wake up Christmas morning and have sin. You're going to live out the day of Christmas having sin. But guess what? He came to save sinners. What a good news that is for us tonight. But I want you to realize it's only good news to those who realize they need a Savior. So I pray tonight If you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for your only hope of salvation, that you do that now. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you so much for your word this evening. We want to thank you for the joyous music and the reminder of the gospel in your birth. The good news that you forgive sinners. You save the vilest of sinners. May that truly be the joy of our heart, Lord. May we truly find the greatest joy of this season, not in the presence, not in the material good things that you give us, not even necessarily time with family or time away from work, but may the ultimate underpinning, undergirding joy that we find is that you have come to save us sinners. And Lord, you are the Lord of our lives. You reign. And Lord, we thank you for the truthfulness of your word. We can rest our souls on it. We thank you for our time this evening. Truly, we come to give you praise and glory with great joy. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
All right, as the worship team comes up, let's stand together and declare that great joy of a Savior given to us, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. Aren't you joyful? Because I know I am. We have a Savior who has been born to us. Let's sing together, Joy to the World. Thank you for coming.